You're listening to episode 236 of Women Worldwide. Are you working and raising a family at the same time, but yet you don't want to miss any important milestones with your children? I've got a guest today who launched her company for this very reason, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thanks for showing up every week and for sharing. You know, every week we bring you a new story, amazing, talented and accomplished guests who make it look easy, all the things that they're doing. But we know better. We know it's not easy. And they're willing to share the highs and the lows and success and challenges of what they're doing. And it's all to help you, right? To kind of turn up the volume on your passion and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life. And we are changing lives one story at a time. Speaking of turning up the volume, I also want to share that I'm holding a workshop with Dolores Hirschman, and we're doing this in New York City in October. And if you're signed up for the Women Worldwide updates, and you can do that at womenworldwideshow.com, then you're going to receive information about this workshop. And it's a two-day workshop to turn up the volume on your speaking. And Dolores is going to handle that because she's a speaker's coach and a comm strategist. And I'm going to focus on really turning up the volume on your media appearances. That's right. Getting in front of the media, building relationships, and also getting you out on social media too. So remember, you can go to womenworldwideshow.com and sign up for those updates. Okay, let's get to today's topic and guest. The topic is careers and your family. You're raising a family, you're working hard, and opportunity costs. Because you know what? You miss milestones. I will never get back the day when my daughter Megan learned to ride a bicycle, right, without training wheels. That was almost 20 years ago. But that's something that I missed, and I wish I had the memory. I wish I was able to track that. So what can actually help? Well, got a guest today, SJ Curtini, who is the co-founder of Tiny Beans. And Tiny Beans is an all-in-one app that gives parents a safe and loving place to document their children's lives. So they can do this through photo sharing, journaling, milestone tracking, and even photo printing. And SJ, when she launched her app, I don't know if she ever even imagined that 3 million people would be using it. Not only that, she's raised $2 million in funding, and her app is listed on the Australian Securities Exchange. I could go on and on, but I really think it's important that SJ shares her journey with you. SJ, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So that's really cool. I mean, did you ever expect 3 million users?
No. I didn't really ever go too much into the future. I just, you know, got presented with what I thought was a great idea and just kind of jumped at it. Which, looking back now, like, yeah, it was a quick half-hour decision. My co-founder, Stephen, had come up with the idea, and we got introduced through a mutual friend, and he talked me through it. And I had just moved from England to Australia and had taken my one-year-old daughter. So my family was, you know, very much that I'd stolen the baby from them. and wanting photos every day. So this was going to solve an immediate problem for me. And I could see it doing it for other parents. So I just kind of jumped in. It was very kind of low risk at the time. We were just going to try and figure it out and see how we could get it in the hands of other parents. So we just went for it. I didn't think too much about it.
That's awesome. So I know that your background was, I think you were agency. Mm-hmm. I think it was a content agency. You would also run a PR business. Yeah. Did you completely pivot to launch Tiny Beans, or did you kind of hold on to your day job and was it a side hustle?
A bit of all those things. So when I met Stephen, I was on maternity leave. So I just had my second baby, Patrick, in Australia. I got to Australia a year before, hadn't been working. I was a stay-at-home mum. And had been, a friend of mine had asked me to manage some Facebook pages for their agency. I was like, Facebook? You're going to pay me to Facebook? This was over 10 years ago when people, you know, just there, no one knew what a community manager was, right. Not including me. And so I just like, yeah, that sounds great. I can do it in nap time. I can do it in evenings. I knew I didn't want to work full time when the kids were tiny. And I suddenly got all these, you know, really glamorous accounts like McLean's Toothpaste and Glad Wrap, which is like a cling film. And I started to make a name for myself doing this because not many people could do it. And I think a lot of it was communicating with parents, with mums. And that's kind of how the connection with Stephen came up. So it just seemed like, you know, I could continue doing that on the side. I could do Tiny Beans, and I was doing it all maybe 2-3 days a week when the kids were tiny. So it just seemed like something really exciting that I'd like to get into. I didn't really think too much about it. It was really exciting, and I just went for it.
No, I love that. And also the fact that you said that it was low risk. You know, mostly when you talk to entrepreneurs, it's high risk. I left my corporate job, or I left my, you know, wherever you are, and just took this plunge. But that's kind of refreshing to hear that there wasn't a lot of risk involved.
It's weird. So Stephen did do that. He gave up his like high flying corporate job and went for it, which is very weird when you get to know him more, because in some ways he doesn't take those risks. So I'm full of admiration for that. But I guess it was an opportunity cost in that, I mean, we didn't pay ourselves for about 2 or 3 years. So it was crazy. Like when the kids were small, we called them the pooey poor years. Like, you know, we weren't going out much. We had two kids very close together. And so it was like, oh, it's just going to be more of that for a little bit longer.
Right.
So I think in some ways it's easier to keep going without much money than to give up what was already coming in. Like we had very low overheads. We, you know, very intentionally simplified our lives. I mean, in Australia, it's great. Like the best things in life really are free, like the beach. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. We made sure we live by the beach. There were lots of stuff we could do. That's kind of how we handled it. But it was an opportunity cost ongoing because, of course, I could have gone back and got a job and I didn't. But we just made it work. I just had the headset of just, keeping life simple and cheap for a while.
Okay, so keeping life simple and cheap.
I'm not sure how that is, right? But it did not work for us.
But look at you now. So it did work. Sometimes it's a part of the formula, and I get that because I remember being a solo mom, solo parent at one time, and simple and cheap. That totally worked when I was transitioning. But so let's talk a little bit about, it must have been a change, right? So when you go from day job to entrepreneur, I'm going to play a little game with you. It's called Best Parts, Worst Parts.
And
it's something that we used to do as a family when the kids were little at the dinner table, just to kind of know what was going on in their world. Mm-hmm. And be like, okay, what's the best part of your day? What's the worst part of your day? So my question to you is, what's the best part of being an entrepreneur and what's the worst part?
So I think the best part is just putting something out there that people love. And it's super exciting in the early stages because you kind of go from nothing. So any small gain is like a big percentage gain. Like you have one user and you go to
2,000%.
It's like 100% increase. And I remember like the day we launched and Stephen going, oh my God, leave that monitor alone, because we had a little system where we could see people coming in. And I was just like addicted to it. And it was a big day. I remember it used to fit 25 people on one screen. And so you had to go to the next one. And the day we got more than 25 in one day, I was like, So that was really exciting. And I still get as much satisfaction from putting something out there that people love. And in some way, the comments we get from grandparents are the ones that really warm my heart. Like, parents are loving Tiny Beans for, you know, this safe, trusted space to put their pictures. That's very different from a lot of what's going on in social media right now. But the grandparents who are just so grateful for those updates, and we've had some, you know, I've never met my grandson. He's 3 years old, but I feel like I know him because I've seen him grow every day through Tiny Beans.
Oh, those, like, are the stories that just touch your heart.
They do. They do. And they still do. Oh, like, gosh. Like, to this day. And there's so many more of those. So that's the best thing. The worst thing, I mean, you know, you're responsible for all that, but you're responsible for all that. So every decision kind of comes back to you. And I remember, like, a friend saying, oh my God, you're so lucky to have your own business. And then I explained to her, like, that thing we were just talking about, the opportunity. I was like, well, you'd have to give up your job and live the cheap life.
Right.
That doesn't sound great. And then I was like, yeah. And, you know, I might get more flexibility. Like, if I want to go to my kids' concert or sports day, I can go. I don't have to ask anyone. But then, you know, I might be working till 2 a.m. because the buck stops.
Right.
You still have to get it done. It just, you know, you maybe have a little bit more control over when you do it, but it still has to get done.
Absolutely.
And keep pushing it back. So that's the one of the hard things, but, you know, it keeps you going as well. So
do you think it gets easier in terms of challenges? So I had mentioned in the intro that, you know, look at an entrepreneur like you or some of the other guests who come on the show, and it looks easy. Do you think that it eventually ever gets easy, or you're still facing challenges today?
I mean, I can't talk for everyone else who, I mean, maybe they're making it look easy, or maybe they're just very good at covering up, but it's certainly not the case for us. Like, every day throws up new challenges, whether it's from a technical perspective, you know, when you have a team you're dealing with, you know, the great thing about it is you're dealing with all these wonderful, diverse, you know, talented people, but people have issues and they're human, and you know, the more you grow, the more of those you have to try and juggle. So, no, it definitely doesn't get easier. I think it's almost harder because sometimes you get over a big challenge. You're like, no, surely now it's going to get easier. And then the next one comes along and they just keep coming.
And sometimes they get bigger and bigger.
And they get bigger and you know, the responsibilities more. Like, when it was just Stephen and I, you know, we were just kind of responsible to each other. And now you're responsible for people's families and livelihood, right, and in some ways happiness when, you know, work takes up so much of people's days. So, yeah, in some ways it does get bigger.
and that is like another family. So mm-hmm. Here you have your family with your children, and yep, you have your family with your coworkers. And I'm just curious, because how did you look for the right partners to work with, people on your team? Mm-hmm. What is it about their characteristics, or, you know, mm-hmm, what were you looking for people around you?
So, we have lots of different roles. So, you know, it's always varying. But I think the things that are always going to be there is the right mindset. Like I said, this is very much a journey for us. Like, I think in terms of software, so many things are still being worked out. Like, it moves so quickly. So I think someone who can constantly learn, be humble, learn from others, take feedback, and be fun to work with. Like, we're here all day. Like, I want to enjoy it from a purely selfish perspective. So, you know, I want others to as well. So I think, you know, that they're some of the key ones. But I think a learning mindset is one of the most important. Nothing's fixed. Everything changes. So people that can adapt to that is the most important for us.
Yeah, especially with technology. Mm. I mean, you can blink and something changes. But on the note of having fun, I think you'd be really fun to work with.
Thanks.
I just have this feeling. So, that you have a great
I hope the people in our team think the same. But we do have a lot of fun. And, you know, one of the challenges for us is we have offices in New York and Sydney.
Oh, I didn't know you were in New York too. Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm in New York right now.
Oh, terrific. That's great.
So, you know, that's a challenge for us, and how those two time zones are not great.
Mm, no.
So, you know, we're really lucky to have such flexible
kind of mindset. So, and we're flexible back. Like Sydney often is up early,
yeah,
and then finishes earlier. New York often starts later and finishes a little bit later. And we're really lucky to have such a wonderful team who kind of accommodate that. And, you know, we accommodate back, try and be as flexible as possible.
That's great. And that's a part of your culture, that flexibility. I'm sure that coming onto the team, it's one of the things that you just have to realize. You guys are on it at different times.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing. So you have this app, and mm-hmm. I wonder about getting it out there and your networking. How important is networking? Is it all social? Because mm-hmm. when you have an app, you want to have social media connected. Are you doing a lot of in-person networking? What's that like for you?
So it's interesting. Like social media is a funny one for us because, you know, we'd love to be able to utilize it to its full potential. But in some ways, that's one of the things that people love most about Tiny Beans is that it's not social media, that it's private. Like if you're using Tiny Beans, I can't find your profile anywhere. Well, I could probably find your Facebook page, even if we're not friends. Like I can find out zero information about anyone on Tiny Beans. So, you know,
which is good.
Which is great.
That,
like I said,
it's safe, secure, absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. So then sometimes people get confused, like we'll put posts on, you know, social media and someone said, I'd love you to share this photo. And then they're like, are you sharing all the photos? Like, what? No, clearly not. So it's a tricky one for us. But in terms of, but you know, we try and combat it. We make it very clear when people have like given us permission to share photos and we try and share the kind of moments that people are capturing on Tiny Beans that mean the most, which is often those kind of little moments and everyday moments rather than kind of Instagram worthy, perfectly crafted.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're constantly, you know, kind of struggling with to get that balance right. In terms of my personal networking, I moved to New York 2 years ago and I had to be really intentional about it. Like when I moved to Sydney, I knew lots of people. So it's kind of easy and I didn't have to make much of an effort, but I didn't here. And so having to reach out, it was kind of like starting school again. Like it's like it was a hit and miss. Sometimes you go to an event, you wouldn't meet great people. Other times, like I've been lucky, I've met the most fantastic, I have to say mostly women, who have been so supportive.
Oh, that's great.
Caring. And I think that's something very, I've noticed the difference between Australia and New York. New York people seem to be very much up for your success. They want you to succeed. Sometimes Australia can be a little, they call it their tall poppy syndrome. They don't like people to succeed too much. but here I've just, yeah, it's interesting. And here I've just met the most incredible people and learned a lot along the way. I went to one event, and someone I met there was like, I've been trying to get hold of you for weeks to have come to this dinner I got asked to. And I was like, oh my God, I remember that email, but I thought it was like a big broadcast email and there were going to be hundreds of people there and you wouldn't miss
yeah.
it. No, it was like 10 hand-selected people.
You're the best. Oh, I love
you. Yeah. But that was such a good moment. I was so filled with regret because I'd really wanted to go and there were great people. And it's made me say yes to a lot more. And because of that and saying yes to things where sometimes it's easier just to stay in the office and, you know, trudge through what you need to do. I said yes a lot more and met so many great people off the back of it. It was a real shift about 6 months ago. So now I try and make, you know, 5 to 10% of my week, like getting out there, meeting people, and so many opportunities have kind of opened up for myself and Tiny Beans. Awesome.
Excellent. No, that's great. And what you said about women and in New York, mm-hmm. they show up with their hearts and their minds. And I just find it so refreshing, the support and how much women are sharing.
It's been incredible.
It is. It's truly incredible. And SJ, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to shift our focus, okay, to our sponsor. So the sponsor of today's episode is Rutledge Publishing. And I don't know if you know Rutledge, but they are one of the largest publishers of academic textbooks and journals. They also happen to be the publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators. And SJ, I wrote this book. It's a Q&A format, and I've answered over 150 questions all about reputation management, socializing your brand, building relationships, mentoring. And I thought it would be fun if I asked you a question that I've already answered
okay.
in the book. So, you know, in the spirit of what you said, keeping that learning mindset mm-hmm. and how that's a part of your culture, I have a great question for you.
Okay.
It's question number 78. How do you up your learning online? So what are you doing?
Okay. So if I forget the online bit for a second, in spirit, like I actually go back to what I was saying earlier about meeting the most incredible women. So I think two things I've been doing, being really much more honest about the challenges I face and where I'm struggling, and sharing those with my trusted network. So, you know, just one example is I met this amazing woman in New York, and we've set up a regular a monthly coffee meeting.
Oh, that's great. I love the face-to-face.
Oh, it's awesome. And she's American, but she lives in Australia for 15 years. So we pick a different Australian cafe in New York because they do the best coffee. And then we get to like see a bit more of New York together. And we each come with like a different challenge that we're facing. And she does a very similar role. And, you know, at the moment, it's a lot more about how to structure the thing where I'm really kind of focusing on how to structure our design team to be more, you know, collaborative and cross and work across all parts of the business and get everyone's kind of input. And she's had such great answers for that. She's a design manager. Another incredible woman I've met is a woman called Meggie, who's also Australian. She has an app called Pep Talk Her, and it's all about women logging their achievements. And she's kind of, you know, just launched the app. So we talk about those challenges that we both face together. And I think that's been really key. And then how that really leads in online is it makes it easier to search for great articles and resources for problems, because you're much more focused on what the problem is. You've got a few leads on what can solve it. That's kind of how I do it. But it really just starts with being really open and authentic about where you're struggling.
I love that you're using
that's how I do it.
The in-person opportunity to like mini mastermind with another person.
Yeah.
And then you take clarity from what you're doing online to get more information and to feed you and to help you grow. Yes. So smart. Thank you. Thank you
no
for
worries.
Answering the question. Thank you, Rutledge, for sponsoring and for my book. And for anybody, any of you who want to download a free chapter from Answers for Modern Communicators, I'm going to give you a link so you can go over to the Rutledge site and download a free chapter. It's http://bit.ly/learningtheessentials. So I hope you got that and you go check out the free chapter. Okay. So SJ, let's dive back into our discussion. I had also mentioned that you were able to raise funding mm-hmm. and you're listed on the Securities Exchange. Let's start with the funding. What was that process like? How did you feel when you were going through it?
So it was, we had Tiny Means going for a couple of years. And what was really great, really early on in our journey, we met Eddie, who is now is our CEO. And he was like a very early mentor to the business. We call him a co-founder. He was there so early and helped really shape what Tiny Beans is today. And what was really great is he kind of really rounded out like our team. Steve, like very much across the tech infrastructure, me more of a marketing background, and Eddie had this real business background. So he was really instrumental in driving that process. Early entrepreneurs, we were all very much involved. I mean, it was hard. It was in Australia, so which is a slightly more risk-averse investment community, I would say. You know, whereas, you know, if we talk to anyone in America, they were like, you just need to grow. Don't worry about revenue just yet, grow. Whereas in Australia, it was like, oh, how exactly are you going to make money? And at what point will you break even?
Interesting.
Which is hard for, which was harder for a business like ours, which was all about getting, you know, a high volume of users to start.
Right. Grow.
grow. So we faced a lot of those challenges. You know, we had a heap of meetings. It was a long process, but.
And were all three of you presenting? So was it you, Eddie, and Steve?
I'm thinking back now, it was like, God, this was in 2014. I mean, like I said, Eddie really spearheaded it, but you know, because people was, you know, they want to know the people that they're investing in as well.
Of course.
So then we were, you know, all involved at various stages of the process. But it was hard, lots of questions, lots of, you know, diving into metrics that we didn't necessarily have at the time, and then we had to scramble to get and, you know, figure out. But it was so many great questions. I think some of the rejections helped us shape ourselves better from a business perspective about some of the questions we need to answer. And then we found some great investors at the end of it. So again, still very much we look at it as a learning journey and helped us move on to where we are now.
How demanding are investors once you have them? I mean, there's a lot of excitement in the beginning and you're all, you know, you're partnering up and you feel like a team, but when it comes down to actually delivering on the value of their investment, did you find that was stressful? What was that like?
Like I said, I mean, I think poor Eddie probably bore the brunt of it as the person that had most of the day-to-day dealings with it. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. But yeah, it could get stressful, you know, when they expect things to move maybe quicker than they thought they would, even though, you know, you feel you can be very clear and set objectives and, you know, goals that you're going for. But I think everyone often wants it quicker. So it depends. We had some really great investors who understand it was a long-term investment. It was super patient. And then some people who maybe hadn't quite got their head around that and were maybe a bit more pushy. But you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, they were very much like understand it operationally. Tiny Beans was up to us. And, you know, we've grown with that. Some people have, you know, fallen away from Tiny Beans. We've got other great investors in. So again, a journey, but yeah, it can feel stressful, but I think finding the right ones is key.
Right.
And you make mistakes. You're like, these weren't great for us. Really important to learn why and then find better ones ongoing.
Right. So sometimes investors, I guess, might look like a match and you have to, you know, you might learn the hard way, or
absolutely,
something tells me the next time you don't take the money just because somebody offers it, but more it has to be a partnership and it has to fit.
Totally. And, you know, I feel very, very early on, we were talking to a couple of investors. This was the very first people that approached us and we thought it would be a great fit because I just thought, oh my God, anyone wants to invest in us. It was so exciting.
Right.
And, you know, but I feel I'm very proud of us that eventually we worked out that it wouldn't be a fit, like mutually, and both agreed to walk away. And I think that was very brave given that we had no other kind of options at the time. We were like, no, we're going to bootstrap for another year. Like that is better than taking investment that we know if it's already a little bit, even these discussions don't feel right. Like how is that ever going to be right? And we walked away. So I'm very proud of us for doing
that. That's really good.
Steve and I very early, and I look back and I'm so glad we did that. But
yeah,
it was very scary at the time.
It was. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about On Women Worldwide, because I know listeners, all of you out there, want to hear about the challenges of getting the funding. But SJ, one thing that you've done that is also really interesting is getting yourself listed. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could talk about what that was like and what are the steps, or how do you do that?
I mean, it definitely wasn't something that we initially planned for and expected. It was something that came up as an opportunity. When we, after that initial round of fundraising, we were talking about the next round and, you know, assessing all different options, whether it be, you know, from private investors, or do we go to America and invest there? And someone initially suggested the ASX. And people were like, really? No, that's surely like a bit, that's further down the line for us. We hadn't been thinking about it. And then the more we investigated it and found out about it, it seemed like it would be a great option. It would give our investors more liquidity, and a great way for us to raise our next round of funds. So yeah, the more we found out about it, the more it seemed like a good idea. It seemed that it was possible. And I think it was like a 6 month plus process for us to get there. But yeah, suddenly, I mean, I remember Steve and I were like, I'm not sure, is this really going to happen? And even on the way, even on the way to the ASX building in Sydney to like ring the bell, I was like, well, until we actually,
are we really doing this?
Are we really doing this? And then, you know, we actually did it, and it was a crazy moment. And super exciting, but
it is exciting.
Yeah.
And did Eddie spearhead this as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
So were there a lot of, did he tell you there were a lot of sleepless nights, or you were all kind of having?
We were all kind of in the trenches on this one. You know, there's a lot, it's a very steep learning curve from even simple things. It sounds like, you know, putting a prospectus together that had to be super detailed. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of what's the expression, boxes to tick, that
yeah,
about the boxes, but we learn. And I think that's the kind of strength of our team. It's like, right, this is a new thing where we know but we're going to figure it out, and we just always kind of get things done. And yeah, Eddie was amazing in that process.
Now, did you have to hire other people to help out with this, like a really good lawyer or get an accountant?
Yeah. Really, there were definitely some big overheads to a process like this. Mm-hmm. You need to get audited by a large accounting firm, the lawyers involved, a broker. That's just in Australia. I imagine if you did it in the US, it's like a whole nother level. You know, maybe one day, but
maybe put it out there.
But yeah, there's a lot of process and box ticking to do. But you know, we discovered it. We had an amazing team. We got an amazing financial person on our team who helped us with all that, and finally got it done.
That's really good. So you did mention a word before that I have to key into.
Ooh.
You said stress. It was a little bit stressful going through the process. Maybe Eddie was stressed. You were all stressed, which is normal when you're growing your business and operation. So how do you handle stress? What are your, I call them stress busters.
Hmm.
What do you do during the day so that, you know, your team, everybody doesn't fall apart. Let's put it that way.
I think it was definitely in waves. I think it's more stressful when you find out something that you don't know, and then the more you dig into it and realize that it's achievable, like that stress level goes down, and then it peaks again when the next thing comes up that you're like, I don't know how this works. So, yeah. So I think it's like that. I mean, I'm not quite sure whether I have the best relationship with stress, because my team is always like, whenever it seems like a stressful situation, you're always so kind of happy and calm. So I think I may
we're so happy,
but I don't necessarily feel it. And I'm glad it doesn't project onto other people, but I think I internalize it. Like I tend not to sleep very well when those kind of moments are coming up. So I'm not sure that I have the answer, but I'm glad that I'm not projecting onto anyone else at least. Sleep suffers, but I go to yoga once a week. I do this amazing yoga that's very stressful. And I don't know, maybe my English, this is where my English background comes out, just being sarcastic and making a joke tends to help me as well.
That's good. Laughter. You know, when there's stress, I think laughter helps so much, even just smiling.
Oh my God. So yeah, I don't think I have the answer, but yeah, sarcasm seems to help me a lot.
That's really good. So, what do you see, you know, you still must be growing quite a bit with your team. Do you find yourself, how do I put this? Is it harder or easier now with family to stay connected? I mean, you have your app. Are you using it? How is that working out for you?
I'm definitely using it. But I think, I mean, I feel very, so I have quite a unique kind of arrangement with my husband. Not many people seem to do this. Like I feel very lucky. Like when the kids were tiny, I was a stay-at-home mom and Jason worked full time. And then as Tiny Beans ramped up, he started working more part-time and I went part-time. So there was this bit where we were just both massively juggling the whole time. And then as Tiny Beans got more successful, I've gone to working full-time and he now stays at home with the kids.
Oh my gosh.
So we've kind of, between the two of us, we've run the kind of full gauntlet of different ways to parent and look after the kids. But I mean, it's a real, for us, it works amazingly. I never have to worry about this less arrangements, this less rushing home with people because I know he's there. So it's great.
Oh, that's the best.
And I think, you know, he's grateful. Like when the kids were tiny, he knew that he was missing out on some of these moments. And I definitely have to miss out on some now, but it feels like a good, healthy balance.
Right. But he's making up for them. Like it is, it sounds like a balance.
Yeah. And it is. And now it's interesting. Like now that they're much older, like our kids are 11 and 9 and probably don't need coming around so much. You know, he's looking at, you know, ramping up his business again. So, and they'd be more involved in the school. So I feel incredibly grateful that over the last, our daughter's nearly 12, like how we've managed to juggle it all with not that much stress on that part. It's been good.
Oh, that's so good. So yeah. What about the whole time management thing? Mm-hmm. So even though the kids are balanced and they're, you know, going to be involved in school, you still have so many things. I can only imagine all the things that you have going on. So how do you kind of get it all done? Do you rely on tools, apps, scheduling? What are you doing so that everything works and just kind of flows during your day?
So one of the things that really helps me mentally is, I don't know, it's a bit OCD. I'm completely inbox zero. So I stay on top of email. I can feel the stress mounting when messages and clutter is just building up. One of the tools, two things I do most effectively. Like, one is a tool. It's a thing called Sanebox.
Oh, never heard of it. Sanebox. Oh,
it's amazing.
Wow.
It's like a Gmail plugin, and it's anything that isn't important or from one of your contacts goes into different files. And I just check those once a day.
That's great.
Which is great. So only the most important stuff comes through. And I check my email like, you know, two or three times a day for the important stuff. And then Sanebox just once a day for all the other stuff. And because I know most of it probably isn't that important, it's super easy to fly through.
And that gets you to inbox zero.
That helps me get to inbox zero.
Yeah, because when you said inbox zero, I thought to myself, there is just no way I ever get to inbox zero.
Yeah, so that helps. And, you know, the other tool I use is one called Wunderlist.
Oh, I've heard of this. Go ahead.
I love Wunderlist. So I have, you know, anything that comes through, like if there's an email that's something I need to talk about, I'll just put it in a folder and then I write a note. Like I have a different note for different members of the team. Like Stephen, here's, and you know, through the week, we have a once a week catch up. I just slap all the little things in Wunderlist under his file that we need to talk about. So that just keeps track of that and gets it out of my inbox. And then when we catch up, I just have a whole list of things to go through for him. So I love that, and different to-do lists on there.
And is that Wonder spelled W-O-N-D-E-R or W-U?
W-U.
Okay. Wonder. So listeners, Wunderlist. Wunder with a U.
Yes, I love it. So it's just an app on my phone and on my desktop, and they sync. And it's also really great because you can share it with people. So like my husband and I have like a shopping list and a to-do list that both of us can see and you can assign to each other.
Nice.
The same, and then just time blocking. It's super easy if you're not vigilant to just, you know, waste 3 hours and not really have achieved much. So I try and like block time. I've got kind of two desks at the moment, like one with my computer on and one that's completely blank. And I'll shift across to the blank one, leave my phone and my computer, and then work through stuff just with paper. I don't know whether, like, the team laugh at me. They're like, you're so old. It's, you know, it's all these millennials. And I just like, I print everything off and like write notes on stuff.
Sometimes I like paper too. I can totally relate to that. I have all papers on my desk.
I know. I can sometimes see them sniggering at me when I'm like scribbling away and putting it all up. But, but that's just how my brain works. That's how I grew up.
Paper. But we're digital too.
Yes. Kind of a good balance.
So,
that's some of the ways, like putting the technology down and blocking an hour of time to work on this and
Nice.
I mean, I definitely don't get it right all the time. It's very easy in an office to get distracted and pulled into stuff. And then I'm an hour in, I'm like, no, I was supposed to be doing something else. But yeah, I think you can just keep trying and learning. That's me at least.
Those are really, really good tips. You're not going to believe it, but we're at the question in the show where you get to share advice, which means we're nearing the end. I can't even believe it. Time flies when you're having fun. So SJ.
Okay.
Maybe you can give some advice to listeners about kind of doing something different and fulfilling in their careers and their lives. What would you say to that?
Oh, that's a big one. I guess I can only talk to what worked for me and maybe it will work for some people and not others. I think the main things I did probably was go with my gut. Mm-hmm. Like something felt right, really like Steve and connected and just thought, why not? I think it was that, just trying it and seeing. So, you know, that going with your gut, that's super important. I think the other thing was, you know, simplifying your life.
That's a good one.
The low overheads was like super crucial. If we didn't have that, plus savings. I know that sounds super boring, but you know, I've saved since I first started working when I was 21, and having that little backdrop of savings was what got us through the 2 years of Tiny Beans when I wasn't earning money and my husband wasn't working for some of it. It was super hard, and we churned through them and have to build them up again, but it helped us do that.
But it was great to have that there. I mean, that's brilliant.
It was actually my dad's advice. Like, he's not much
good advice.
he's not much of an advice giver, and he he gets really cross when I swear. Like, I still can't swear, and I'm 40 years old. I think I said bloody once, and he went off.
But he had this advice that was to have an FU fund. So, and he told me that when I was really young. And it was like, if you're ever in a situation you don't like, if someone's making you feel uncomfortable, if you don't like where you are, you can just walk away if you have that.
An FU fund. Your dad's brilliant. Come on, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Go start that FU fund. Whether you think you're going to launch a business or do something different, if you don't have one, start it now.
I've walked out of jobs that I didn't like when I had no job to go to. Actually, I don't think I've ever gone to a job with a job, left a job with a job to go to. But anyway, getting off the point, go with your gut and try and just have an open mind. And it's a journey. You don't have to have every step worked out. For me, at least. I mean, I don't know about other. I mean, we still don't own a house, so I don't know whether we're like I said, it might not work for everyone, but that's what worked for us.
Well, I think you gave great advice. Go with your gut, simplify your life, and get that savings FU fund going. Yes,
you never know when you might need it.
You never know. Well, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and Tiny Beans?
So Tiny Beans is a free app, which is pretty incredible. Like, so many apps are going to that model where you get to try it out for 7 days and then you have to pay.
Yeah.
So it's a free app. I mean, we do have a free subscription if you want a few extra features, but everyone can use it for free. And it's at www.tinybeans.com, or just search up Tiny Beans on either of the app stores. That's how
awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much, SJ, for coming on the show, sharing your journey, you know, the ups and the downs, a little bit of stress, and really enlightening us about some of the things that you've done. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Welcome. It was fun.
Yeah, it was, and it's so fun to talk to you. Your employees and partners are all so lucky.
Oh, well, you'd have to ask them about that. Like, that was just my side. I'm lucky to have them.
That's really nice. Well, and I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up, for growing our network, for sharing the stories of amazing guests like SJ who come on the show. And please keep the feedback coming. Tweet to us. You know, share on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, go subscribe to the Deirdre Breckenridge YouTube channel so you can watch us and also share your comments there. Thanks. And like I always say, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.